Welcome back to TRP.
Hi, a warm welcome back to the Rosslare podcast. Today I have with me Tony Durack, Jim Boyce and Kathleen O'Shea. They call themselves the Model Banner, and their new CD is called Legacy. All proceeds from this CD will go to Hope Cancer Support Centre, the patients and their families. What are you guys? What sort of a band are you?
We're a mixture of trad and kind of folk songs or songs in general. A mixture is hard to define what we do really, but that's probably the nearest I can get to it. A mixture of trad and sing songs, kind of.
And when did you first become interested in music? You're from Wexford yourself, so you're Kathleen, yeah.
That's right, yeah.
I didn't think any of the boys would be called Kathleen, to be fair.
It'd be a problem. I'm from outside Enniscorthy, a place called Davidstown originally. My interest in music started in the family home, where there was a lot of music growing up. Not so much being played, but being listened to. And my mother was from Clare, so there was a lot of trad music coming down that route. And when I was in national school, then in Davidstown, there was a school band, and that's what really kick-started me.
So is that where you got the connection with the other Clare member?
Not at all. No, I'll let Tony himself now talk about where that came into being.
Well, I suppose the model is the model county, and the banner would be the banner county. So we'll have to give that to Captain that she came up with that name.
And there's somebody being very, very quiet here at the moment. So would you care to...
I'm on the way to my turn as usual.
Not that quite enough.
Well, tell me about how you got interested in music.
I suppose I lived in a house that we were lucky enough to have two close friends of my father's who came in on a weekly basis, and we had a weekly session, and all the local gossip, cup of tea, yarns, and would have been my first introduction to music. And like Kathleen, then your school, local school, would have introduced an element of music as well, and got involved in school choir, and from there, over the years, then got involved in other things. So that was my kind of introduction initially.
So tell me about this album. You've brought out a new album called Legacy. Tell me a little bit about that. Who's going to tell me about that?
We brought out the album there almost a year ago, and we selected the title Legacy because, as we've been saying, we've inherited a lot of music from our parents and the people before us, and we wanted to acknowledge that, and as well as that, we wanted to kind of leave something behind us for whoever will come after us, that, you know, that we were here and we did get involved in music, and we hopefully we leave something behind us. In musical terms. So the word legacy, we thought, was a fitting title for it anyway.
No, it is a nice title, actually. I appreciate that. Just tell me, in terms of musicianship, who plays what in the band?
Jim is our singer, and he plays guitar and banjo and mandolin and the low whistle. So multi-talented. And I play the flute and tin whistle, a bit on the harmonica. And Tony's our box player.
Yeah.
So who really is the best musician?
Oh, I would be the best musician. Oh, without a doubt. No doubt about that.
We bow to his superiority here.
Don't hold back, Tony.
There's no question about that, no.
Tell me, how has COVID affected guys like you who try and, play live gigs?
It has been, well...
It's hard,
Yeah.
It's hard on everyone,
I suppose that we're fortunate in that we're not dependent financially on our music, and we're very fortunate and we recognise that. I suppose for us it's a pastime that, it's a large part of our lives, but it is ultimately a pastime. And
and the social scene.
And our social lives, exactly. Yeah. Go on, Jim.
You'd miss your friends, your usual gatherings. Obviously the fact that you're not playing, you really lose the edge in terms of your music, and it's like you get up to, you know, I suppose in recent times we've got together on a few outings outdoors, and you find yourself really pretty much, you know, out of the picture in terms of your playing. You really have lost, you know, you need a decent amount of practice to get going again, and you really do go backwards to some degree. But yeah, the whole social side of it is something that people hugely miss, because, you know, you get up and you play your bit of music, whatever the event is. But, you know, there's so many people that you know through music who are fellow musicians, and some of them obviously who just come to for the bit of crack, and, you know, you catch up with them after those events and have a bit of catch up and crack and tell yarns and so on, you know. Mm-hmm.
So Jim and Kathleen, you're both from Wexford.
That's right.
Both, yeah.
So
yeah.
Where did you meet the other vagabond?
Well, no. Jim is responsible for that, I think.
Well, Kathleen and myself would have met, I suppose, before we met up with Jim as a trio.
And yeah.
Kind of, I suppose it would be kind of with the music sessions.
Yeah, they're kind of lots of informal sessions, even in people's houses, you know, apart from being out and about.
Would that have been here in Wexford, or was it over in Clare?
No, here in Wexford, yeah.
Here in Wexford.
Yeah.
As for me, as well, I'd have to say that when we're down here about 14, 15 years now from Clare, and I'd have to say it was the music, I suppose, that I got to know people down here, like, you know.
But Wexford hasn't got a strong tradition of traditional music.
People say that, but I say different, coming from Clare. They say that Clare has all the music, but I was surprised when I came down here with all the music that's down here. There's an awful lot of young ones now playing music as well, like, you know. Yeah. And I think they're giving the wrong impression about Wexford. Mm. I better say that now because I'm living in Wexford.
And you're in the company of four people from
yeah.
Okay, in terms of the album, where did you go and record this?
In Ivan Livingston, wasn't it?
Up in John Street Studios in Enniscorthy, yeah. Ivan Livingston is the sound engineer who runs the place, and no better man to guide us and advise us along the way now, I have to say. And we had Teresa Keogh producing it for us. Teresa has more than 50 years behind her in terms of experience she plays with. She is the Teresa of Teresa and the Stars, and they're a local band that have been on the go here for just coming up to 50 years on the road now, which is remarkable in music, in the music world, to keep going for that length, you know. So,
and like you say, you are lucky that you're not dependent on music for a livelihood,
mm-hmm.
but you couldn't do without music either, could you?
Well, I think music needs an audience. Like, you know, just following on from what Jim was saying, we miss the crack, but the music itself requires an audience, I think, anyway. You know, I mean, it's fine to play for ourselves, and we're delighted that restrictions have lifted enough to allow us to do that. But to play for an audience is where you get the real kick out of it, you know, and you see people enjoying themselves, and you see the feet tapping and people singing along and, you know, having fun.
And where would your normal venues normally be?
Well, I suppose we're relatively new as a trio ourselves. So we would play, well, there's a session, an open house session in the Ballock outside, kind of between Enniscorthy and Gorey, up that direction, on a Thursday night. And we would have played there. Like, any visiting person can come up and sing in the second half of the night that's on there. Trees and the Stars run a night there every Thursday, and they'd perform for the first half of the night, and then it's open house.
Open mic.
You know.
And do you like that? Like, what happens if you come across a potential musician who's just not up to the standard and he's dragging you down? Does that bother you?
Not hugely. If a musician is only able to play four or five notes, you play with them, you know, you don't look down on them.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's as good as they are, like, and if they enjoyed, why not, like, you know? I wouldn't.
Yeah, like, we're not putting ourselves out as world-class musicians, and everyone is at the level that you're at. That's where you are.
And you can get singers.
Everyone can enjoy it regardless, you know.
Us as well, I mean, we'd be so aware of the fact that there's others who are far, far better than you.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's about performing at your own level.
When we first met Jimmy, it was near to see. We've been a great job meeting him now.
Yeah.
The
It was hard going, but anyway.
So what was he doing, playing the spoons?
Tony gave him singing lessons.
I have to ask about, there was one song I thought was showed your musicianship beautifully, and that was The Return of the Swallows. And I think that's your song, Jim, isn't it?
That's my piece.
Well, do you want to tell me something about it?
I suppose the only way I can, I suppose the only bit of feedback I can give you, it came at a period where I used to pick up the guitar every evening kind of for relaxation and, you know, just sing a few songs and that sort of thing. No one to listen, by the way. But anyways, just happened to play a combination of a couple of chords that particular evening. And it basically led to the tune itself. And I recorded it, and I'd say it was shelved for about 6 or 10 years. So eventually, I suppose, the fact that I met the guys, and they equally had tunes of their own, and still have pieces that we'd all individually like to work on. And perhaps now, maybe during the winter, we'll get at that. But that's how that just simply came, you know. I had no team in my head, I had nothing in particular in my head, it was just a combination of chords, and the tune emerged from it, basically, you know.
It's a lovely piece of music, but obviously it'd be very, very difficult to play that live in a pub with guys drinking pints and ordering pints. So what do you do in a situation like that? You know, if you have a serious piece of music and you're in a place where people are drinking and they're having fun, they're in a pub initially, the music happens to be secondary. So how do you feel about that? Does that upset you? Or
Oh, not really. I think most pubs, mean you are kind of background.
You kind of blank yourself out.
Yeah, you know, and I mean... I think if you took yourself too seriously in on occasions like that, you'd be in serious trouble. You just wouldn't play music, you know. So, I mean, you get different audiences and I suppose really and truly different tunes, different songs will stick out to people as, you know, you'll get absolute quiet for different pieces because people absolutely like it, you know. So your venues will vary in terms of that.
Yeah,
I'd say you don't get much quiet when you sing Wexford Hurling Men.
Yeah,
but I just want to say you have to change a couple of words in that.
Yeah, we've a problem now. Well, Davey has left us with a conundrum. We have to kind of figure out how is that going to go for the future, but we'll see who might come along next and we might substitute a few words here and there to make it current again.
And do you have any idea who that might be?
I think it's very undecided. Well, certainly there's nothing in the public anyway, so we have to wait and see who I suppose will come forward for selection in the county board. Hopefully before too long we'll announce whoever's taking over, but hopefully they'll get someone who'll take them that next little step of the way anyway and we can get good value out of the song into the future.
So you have to go back into the studio with that then?
Have to go back, put the thinking cap on and we'll have to see whether we'll go back into the studio or not. I suppose time will tell. But I suppose for the live performances, we can adapt it, you know, anyway, as it goes along. Whenever it emerges, who's going to be the next manager?
Maybe we leave it the way it is. It's a nice song, and sure, Davey was fairly good down here, maybe.
Oh, sure, he's a clear man. Sure, yeah. What am I talking about?
Look at, are you surprised?
Well, we had to bring Davey down to start out the holding, like, you know.
Oh, gee, you're risking it.
I know. I know we have a clear man as a bishop. So
he's praying for you as well.
He's off.
Up Wexford, the model county roar. Up Wexford, we told you all before. We won't give up, we'll never give up, and we'll do it all again. Oh, Davy Phipps, we love you, the Brits and your Wexford hurling men. The car is filled with diesel and it's ready for the road. The kettle's boiled, the hay is made and the flask is ready to go. The sandwiches are in the boot with cakes and buns galore. With two in the front and three in the back, she's got a heavy load. I'll get the slags and bunting to send us on our way. The Wexford colours are on the hats of the girls of the ICA. And a scorty fern come rolling with flags on every tree. From Gorey up the motorway to the county boundary.
Up Wexford, the model county roar. Up Wexford, we told you all before. We won't give up, we'll never give up, and we'll do it all again. Oh, Davy Phipps, we love you, the Brits and the Wexford hurling men.
Stories told of men of old, all the way up the N11. They proudly hard for Wexford and now we're gone to heaven. 55 and 56, 1668. And 96 our heroes we will always celebrate. We have a proud tradition and story we relay. Of hurling men who won the gold for Wexford in their day. With pride they wore their jersey, their passion they display. Still burns with pride so deep inside, it's in our DNA.
Up Wexford, the model county roar. Up Wexford, we told you all before. We won't give up, we'll never give up, and we'll do it all again. Oh, Davy Phipps, we love you, the Brits and your Wexford hurling men.
Pull your hats, flags and scarves.
Now we're packed in Dublin and it's time for tea and grub. When all the cakes and buns are gone, we'll meet up in the pub. Then make your way up Jones's Road, your ticket in your hand. And all around is the purple and gold as you look around the stand.
The game is on, me nerves are gone, the lads are playing well. A sideline ball, $10, a win is hard to tell. A 65 for Wexford is pointed by Lee Chin. And the Wexford crowd, they roar so loud and we go on to win. Up Wexford, the Model County roar. Up Wexford, we told you all before. We won't give up, we'll never give up, and we'll do it all again. Oh, Davy Fitz, we love you the bits in your Wexford heart and hand. Up Wexford, the Model County roar. Up Wexford, we told you all before. We won't give up, we'll never give up, and we'll do it all again. Oh, Davy Fitz, we love you to bits in the Wexford heart and hand.
Ask you about Kilmaley Reel, the Merry Blacksmith, and the Hare's Paw. Yeah. Where in Jesus' name did they get their names?
We'd love to know ourselves, because we didn't put those names on them at all. Reels and jigs have their own names, or you'll have numerous ones that people don't have names on, and equally, and they make up a name. You know, you could have the same tune that's played maybe in Sligo and in, say, Wexford. Could be the very same tune, but they'd have a different name in Sligo on that tune as the name that would compared to the name that's down here, say. And just, I suppose over the years, people, just whatever name came to mind quickly. Yeah. You know, you'd find some very amusing titles on tunes at times.
I was once over in West Clare, and we're talking to some musician. He apparently wrote the piece, and he was asked a song called The Pigeon on Earth. A tune called The Pigeon on the Gate.
That's right.
And somebody said, "Where did you get the name?" And he says, "Oh, yes, I was looking out the window and the pigeon was on the gate." That's it. Whatever was there.
On the album, you have a song called Beautiful Affair, which is unusual in as much as it starts with a vocal harmony. That's quite unusual for a traditional band. Do you want to tell me about it?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's no harm to push the boundaries a little bit from time to time as well. First of all, it's originally a Stockton's Wing tune from way back in the early 80s. And it was a big hit for them on the Irish scene then. And they were a Clare-based band, I have to mention it again. And
Clare Tourism Board here.
Yes. Can't escape it. But and we always liked the song and it always goes down well. So why did we start with harmonies? I think we wanted to shake it up a bit, kind of. Yeah.
And put a long mark on it, so to speak.
See all the doors swing open, your life's unfolding before your very eyes. Such a strange affair. Walking around, come into the sound, forget your town. Feel the air, beautiful affair. When you feel like you're laying low and the mountain seems no closer than before, and you wonder why. There's nowhere to hide, and the only way is living to survive. Makes you feel alive. See all the doors swing open, your life's unfolding before your very eyes. Such a strange affair. Walking around, come into the sound, forget you down, feel the air. Uniform affair. We'll be right back.
life's unfolding before your very eyes. Such a strange affair. Walking around, come into the sound, forget your down, feel the air. Beautiful affair.
Are you prolific songwriters? Are you?
We're dabbling, I suppose I would say it. Yeah, dabbling. Yeah,
pretty much is.
And what do you see? When do you see yourselves getting back onto a stage again?
I don't know. Maybe.
I'd say it's something that's going to be slow to happen. Don't know what it did. I'd say it's all just going to be very slow to open up.
Would you think of outdoor, you know, like playing in a park or something like that?
We've been doing a little bit of that just in recent times. Of course, you are weather dependent when you go that route, but just kind of grab the opportunity over the summer when you have a better chance of a good day and it remaining as a fine day.
So how would you advertise that then? Because you don't really know in advance whether it's going to be a
good day. It would be kind of, well, between ourselves, we'd pencil in a date and we'd say, right, well, we'll see nearer the time because the weather will determine everything. But how to advertise it then? Sometimes we don't even advertise it. We just go and play.
And we just set up ourselves and people would gather around and you'd have a bit of a session in for an hour or two.
So, Kathleen, tell me, how did Sheila's wedding waltz come about?
Sheila's my youngest sister and she got married in 2007. And her hen night was below in Dingle on the May Bank holiday weekend. And we were down and we had a great weekend. And on my way back, I was driving on my own. And as I was kind of travelling through Caer Clonmel around that stretch of the road, this tune came into my head. And for some reason, the instrument was being played on when it came through my head was Dealing Pipes. Now, I don't play the pipes, but for some reason, I heard the tune on that instrument, on the Dealing Pipes. So Before I would forget the tune, and because I still had about 2.5 hours driving to do to get home, I remember pulling in on the hard shoulder to write down the notes of the tune so I'd have it in case I'd forget it. So I still have that bit of paper back at home. But when we went to record it then in the studio for the album, I asked my brother-in-law, Brendan Wickham, who is an Dealing Piper here from Kilran near Rosslare, to come in and record it with us. And Brendan was delighted to do so. And I think it really adds to the tune to have the pipes there. And it kind of fulfills my original hearing of the tune, if you like, when it came to me first, that it was on the Dealing Pipes that I heard it. So it kind of brought the thing full circle. And I'm really pleased that he's on it.
Thank you.
do you all read music?
No, not for me now. I just pick up everything by ear. Always have. Probably a little bit. I suppose when I was younger, to know your mind obviously is that bit sharper. Would have been playing probably a lot more music. So I suppose I would have been, would have been an element of laziness when it came to actually learning to read, because I would have had a pretty good ear to pick up music.
And do you regret that you didn't?
Sometimes, yes, but nevertheless, there's a lot of, I would see elements of people who would read music and do so extremely well, but wouldn't have the ability to sit into a session and play tune after tune, whereas most guys like us can basically get in and play for a number of hours, from tunes that you would just have played over the years, and like Tony or Kathleen, for argument's sake, could take off with a tune and you just join in and that's it.
Yeah, when you were saying, Kathleen, that you were taking down the notes of your sister's waltz, would you not retain that in your head? Would you need to write it down?
I was afraid I'd lose it by the time I'd get home, because I still had two and a half hours driving to do. And I have lost tunes that have come through my head before, that have come through, you'd like them, you'd think, oh yeah, I remember that now. And when you get home, you don't. So
you can just transcribe that from your head to a sheet of music paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you classically trained?
No. It's just something. I suppose Jim touched on it there. Irish music, it's a feature of people who play Irish music, really, that the music is learned by ear. It doesn't exclude that you would be able to read music, but it's the tradition of Irish music is very much by ear, passed down by ear from one musician to the next. And as Jim said, you will see people who are very highly musically trained, but they can't play a note in Irish music because they need to have that sheet of music in front of them. Then they'll play brilliantly. And I'm not taking from that talent and that skill at all. It's just something that doesn't tend to go so much with Irish music. And it does very much go with classical music, that the sheet music would be there. So it depends on the background you're coming from, I think. I just discovered when I was I mentioned that there was a band in national school. When I was in national school, I knew I could do that thing of hearing a note and writing it down. So it's very handy when you can't trust your memory and you can have the backup. It's the best of both worlds, I suppose. You know.
I remember one time I was doing a documentary, a Willie Clancy week over in Clare, and we were talking to a box player. He's one of the really good box players. We were talking about how talented some of these Chinese and Japanese kids coming over to Ireland to play traditional Irish music were.
Mm.
And he said to me, you know what? He says, some of them are not perfect. And he says, but they don't have it in their DNA. And I just, for one second, I thought, where's he coming from with this DNA thing? You know, I just thought, this is neo-Nazism. And I kind of discovered years later that he was right. Basically, it doesn't matter how well you speak English. English is spoken with an accent, and that's what they're losing. They have the perfect English, but they don't have the accent of the area.
Yeah.
And they can never get that accent in the music, which is a strange thing to say.
I think we'd all have commented ourselves on something similar. Yeah.
I think you can take different pieces of music and listen to different people play it and they'll express it slightly differently. It might be pretty much note for note, but expression, you know, you take slow ears in particular, people will, they'll put their own expression into it, their own mark on it as such, but it's the same tune, you know.
That same time we were down in, at the time down at the Willie Clancy, Zoe Conway was just starting to play, she was classically trained, but she was starting to play the violin, fiddle, whatever you want to call it. And she was putting in these lovely little thrills into traditional music that didn't normally belong there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to, I don't know, I can't remember the name of the person who...
Seamus O'Rohan would be one of them.
Yeah, I think, yeah. And he was saying, I said, she's a fantastic player. And he says, but she's not a purist. And I was thinking, does that mean that you want traditional Irish music to sound exactly the way it was, 50 years ago? And where's music must breathe, it must change, it must adapt. Mm. And I couldn't understand this rigidness in the man. I thought it was strange. What do you think?
Like, you can go from one county to the other, like, you know, and play the same tune, but each county would have their own little way of playing that tune, like, you know.
Yeah. I think even with the instruments, like, some people say, oh, a banjo is not strictly speaking an Irish traditional instrument, or a guitar shouldn't have any place in a trad session or things like that. You'll hear people from time to time say that, but I think if the music is not to stagnate, it has to be open to new instruments and new interpretations and new ways of approaching the tunes and the music and creating new music as well. You know, it has to, as you say, it has to breathe.
We interviewed Martin Hayes, the Clare fiddle player. He said something one time, and I thought it was very, very interesting. He said, you know what, I go to sessions in the west of Clare, and people go, yes, your man, he's back from America, making big money over there. And he's a fantastic player. And he says he goes to some of these sessions in these small pubs. And when he walks into the pub, some farmer might come in with fingers like pistons. And he's, and he says he's sitting there, and he's playing the fiddle, and he's doing the nice little thrills that he always does. And he says some guy comes in with these piston fingers, and he pumps up and down that little neck. And he says he's making music that I could never make. Mm. But he doesn't realise he's doing something that I can't do. And he said he mightn't be as technical as me, but he says sometimes the greatest sentence is said with the shortest amount of words. That these guys, they mightn't be able to run up and down the board as well, but they're doing something that has gives it rhythm, beat, or I don't know what.
It's an individual thing, really, I suppose. It's each person has a style of their own. So it's kind of an individual thing.
And that's what he was, I think what he was saying was everybody has something in them that's different and they can add it to a piece of music, which is a lovely idea.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you guys want to say about traditional music in this country, the state of it, or...?
I think it's in a very healthy state.
Very healthy. A lot of young people learn to know, like, you know.
Yeah. Like, when I was a teenager, it was most uncool to be playing trad.
Absolutely.
It was just not the thing. And it was very hard to find anyone my age who was willing or interested in playing it. Whereas now they have a whole network and they all know each other and they all attend classes and workshops and go to the festivals in normal times together and things like that. So I think the future of Irish music is very safe.
I think sometimes there's too much emphasis on professional, both in sports and music. I think that a lot more emphasis should be put on the younger people coming up to nurture music and sports. I suppose it's going to sound like I'm bashing Kyoto's, but to give one example of it would be, go to an All-Ireland FLA and you have some of these big names that are brought in, and they're not necessarily Irish music, but they're brought there to make it more commercial. I think it's actually wrong in the sense that you have so many categories of young people especially, who basically have won an All-Ireland, and they're really not given a stage afterwards to show that their capability of, you know, in terms of their music, in terms of the instruments they play. And I think it's actually kind of, you know, I think if you don't nurture what's coming up, I think there's a huge mistake. Some elements of it have become too commercial. You know, there's room for everything, but I think in terms of younger people in particular, and again, to make the, I suppose, the point in terms of sport, if you're left on the bench and you're not given the opportunity to play, well, you're going to lose interest. So, I mean, there's a loss to sport, it's a loss to music, if the opportunities are not there or given. I think it's a loss to music and sport.
Well, Tony, are you going to tell us the secret of the Clare? Because Clare are doing well in music and hurling.
So. I'd say she's all come from Biddy Early. I'd say she's behind the whole lot of it, you know.
And the famous bottle in the lake.
The bottle in the lake, you know.
Keep on listening to TRP.